Are you one of the people thinking about trying to buy a home in 2024 or 2025 and getting really frustrated with all the news and the headlines, making it sound like it's going to be impossible for a buyer? Well, hang on, gang, because this is someone who just closed on a home. We're talking beginning of March 5th, 2024, Yadi and Victor closed on a $285,000 home, and they didn't think they could do it. In fact, they started in October of 2023, and just 6 months later, boom, they had themselves a home. And if you're looking for inspiration, this is the interview for you, including a surprise twist ending. Play that music. Welcome, everybody. If you're watching on video, it's a gorgeous sunset evening here in Southern California, and I'm very excited. We have yet another How to Buy a Home podcast listener, some homies that closed on their home, and this is recent, like March 5th, and we're recording this on March 20th. So you guys, are you even in your new home right now?
Yes. Last night, it was our first night here.
No way! Oh my gosh, I feel like I'm invading on your honeymoon. This is so awkward. Well, everybody, this is Yadi, also known as Yadira, if I say it right, and Victor. Yadi and Victor are in the Dallas area. They just closed on a home for, did I get this right, $285,000?
Yes.
Yes.
Did you pay cash?
No.
All right, good. I just want to make sure the listeners know that you just didn't like go, yeah, well, here we go. And we originally talked in October of 2023. And so basically about 6 months for you guys to close on a house. So, you know, you've heard podcast has been around long enough. You probably listen to other interviews. What's your big tip for people out there?
My biggest tip is don't overthink it. Your credit score might be bad, or you may owe a lot on your credit card, but you'll be surprised with what your support team can do for you. They give you options and they work with your financial situation.
I think the highlight of that tip, Yadi, is you'll be surprised. You know, I think too many people, I mean, sure, people like to know. They're like, dude, seriously, I have a 520 credit score. And I'm like, hey, that just means you're not buying in 6 weeks. It might take 6 months or it might take a year. And I think the more people understand that there are people out there willing to help you early that will give you some guidance. Like, okay, so you reached out to me in October. And then we set you up with one of my teams out in Dallas, that one of my unicorn teams. I'm actually going, well, this will be after it happened, but I'm actually coming to Dallas. So I'll be there on April Fool's Day. Are you guys coming? Yes. Do I get to see you in person?
Yes.
Yay! Awesome. Cool. So you ended up probably, you talked to Cole in October. You closed in March. How much time did you spend doing the financial get together before you actually ever went and saw homes? Approximately.
With the lender, probably 2 to 3 weeks. Well, we had some trips, and then our work schedule wouldn't let us see the lender sooner. So we did wait about a week or two before seeing him, and then he gave us our loan options maybe like a week later.
I think one of the things, I mean, for anybody listening to this in the future, one of the things that is a tip that I don't talk about a lot, but it's the seasonality. If you come to me in October, it's like if you have a couple trips planned, I'll just let you know, hey, there's not going to be that much inventory from Thanksgiving to Christmas for sure. So you might, you know, you might want to plan that with your apartment or whatever. But you guys closed beginning of March, right after New Year's. Did you see a lot of houses for sale, or did they start to pop up as January got further along?
They started to pop up more and more. It depended on the area.
Oh, yeah. How much sticker shock were you guys? Did you do homework beforehand, or did you talk to them and go, really, dude, that's the only neighborhood we can afford? Or were you kind of ready for it?
We were ready for it. We knew what area. That area is mainly where all the houses were. But we didn't choose that area at the end.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. And obviously, oh my God, I can't believe I'm talking to you guys like the first, second day in your house. That's so exciting. Are you guys originally from Dallas?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so you kind of had an idea. Where were you renting close to this area? Were you guys living at home? What was your story? Tell us how you got from a non-homeowner to a homeowner.
You want to start?
Well, the location that we got is actually close to our parents. So everything around us, we're familiar with it. And I would rent out the house where my dad's at. So, I mean, that's how my story started. Why would I keep paying rent when I could pay to own someday?
Especially if you're in the same neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. Like 8 minutes away from me. So that's like perfect. And her family's close too. Everybody's around here.
We were actually trying to avoid this area. But the first offer we were going to make, it was about 20, 30 minutes away. And my heart felt empty. I realized I cannot move away that far from my family. They're getting older. My parents are getting older. And we decided, okay, maybe we want it here after all. And we got lucky.
Now, do you guys have kids or pets?
Just one. He has one dog. No kids.
No kids. Okay. Well, I mean, I tell people all the time, there is something to be said about whether it's children or dogs. And sorry to my wife, honey, when it comes to buying a home, I have to put them in the same category. But you cannot a full dollar value on being able to go on vacation. And if you are someone who has kids or is going to have kids, I mean, the daycare costs alone, sure, you might like the neighborhood an hour away or like in another state. It's the number one reason. There was a big article a little while ago, number one reason that people either moved or were planning on moving in 2024 was to get closer to family. I think we've had enough time post-COVID. During COVID, everyone wanted to get away from each other. But now there's been enough time. Everyone's like, you know what? I like being close to my mom, to my dad. So was it ultimately the geography, it being 20 minutes away? Or was your decision-making process based on you saw some homes in the other area and you realized that homes in this area were comparable or worked for you economically?
Well, the area I wanted, it was closer to my job. So I was familiar with that area, like really nice. The people are so nice.
And what you're saying, but where you live now, the people are terrible?
Sometimes they can be. But we got lucky with the neighborhood. It's really nice. Nothing but older people. They're not terrible.
We spoke to our neighbor already. And
yeah, they're very sweet.
They're just lovely. We exchanged information already.
Wait, you guys have been there 24 hours and you're already getting to know the neighbors?
We've been moving in, the past 2 weeks? We've been moving stuff, furniture and all that.
Getting appliances, couches. Yes.
And it's really quiet out there.
That's fantastic. Okay. Talk to us about the crossover period. Was that something that you discussed with Cole, your unicorn, or is that something you guys listened to the podcast? Or because it sounds like you had time to move in. Was that a conscious decision?
Well, I live with my mom and he lived in his dad's house. So it didn't matter when, honestly.
Yeah, we just had to pretty much talk to them, like say, hey, we're planning on moving out already. We got a house. You guys can come see it. Expect us not to chip in anymore.
Or help out with my sisters, taking them to school and all that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you guys are in a prime situation. You're living with your parents. You obviously get along well with your family. What are you doing going out and changing your life and buying a home? I mean, I'm looking at you on camera right now. How old are you guys?
25. We're both 25. Same birthday, same day, same month, same year.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God, how crazy.
Yes.
Yeah, wow. We actually just got our new license. Now it's the same address too.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh my gosh, how funny. Boy, I bet the bartenders look at you funny. What?
Yes.
When they're like looking at your IDs.
I just tell them that she's my twin. Then I just throw her a kiss. And
then the bouncer's like, what is going on?
They're like, you can't come in anymore.
That story could be probably of the 50 or 60 interviews I've done, but my favorite story, the kissing twins. That is the greatest. Okay, back to the house stuff. So what made you guys make the decision? Was it friends? Was it family? Why did you guys decide you're living at home, you're doing well, you're having great birthday parties once a year? Why did you guys decide that you were looking into buying a home instead of going out and getting an apartment together?
Well, we never wanted to go to an apartment. And besides us getting older and wanting kids one day, and knowing that the prices of houses are only going up, we knew that financially it would be a good investment.
That's so cool. I love it. Now, those of you guys, I just want everyone out there to know, all the listeners, Yachty, I asked him to do this interview and she took notes and she's going through. And I love the fact that the things that you say now are just perfect little sound bites. So everybody understand that you could be 25 years old, living with your family, but still being able to take this leap. What was your monthly money that you had to pay for? Like you said, you were paying your dad. What was that rent versus your new mortgage? How much more are you paying now every month?
I am probably paying about $1,000 more than what I would already, but that's including like utilities and everything already.
So you're paying $1,000 more, which means were you like saving that $1,000 a month when you were?
Oh yeah, it helped out a lot. Yeah, because I would rent the house basically on my own and pay the utilities on my own. Because he actually stays in the house like 10 minutes away from there. So he'll pop up every so often, but I'll take care of the bills.
That's great. So you guys were prepared for this financial change. And for being $1,000 more a month, it's comfortable. And you guys are sitting in a house. Did you ever think you'd buy something for $285,000?
No.
We didn't.
What kind of down payment did you guys do? How much? Was it like 3%, 5%?
Yeah, it was supposed to be 3%, but we did the 2-1 buy down.
Yes.
Bought our rate. So we put $16K down. It could have been a lot less, but we chose to buy the rate.
Yes. So I've done a couple podcasts on this. If you don't know about the 2-1 buy down, go look through the titles. It's in there. I should make you explain it, Yachty. Right now, go ahead, explain everything about a 2-1 buy down. Go. She's panicking.
So, for example, right now, when we were getting the house, it was in the high 7%. We did the 2-1 buy down, which means the first year, it's a fixed rate of 5%. And then the next year, it'll be 6%. And then the next year, 7%. But you can always refinance.
After the third year.
Holy crap. Where were you when I was writing the script? Like my podcast is like 30 minutes long. You explained the whole thing in 42 seconds. Great job. That's exactly right. So we've got some things that are happening in the news right now. I'm going to do some podcasts on these lawsuits that are happening and everyone's kind of freaking out about stuff. But when you came to me, you said that you guys had a nice chunk of money. That chunk of change gave you the option to do the buy down, correct? Or did I read that right? Did you have $2,500 or $25,000 when you came to me in October?
I think I actually had 20.
20,000. Okay, great. Well then, and so you had 20,000, you got everything done for 16. And like you were saying, Victor, you've been buying appliances and things like that because you still had some cash left over.
Yeah.
And he also did the 401k. Yeah, I feel like it was not necessary. Ever since October, we were able to save up a lot more. But we still did the 401k just to have that extra money in case of emergencies.
So the 401k is, I talk about it in other podcasts, but the thing about it is it's a one-time deal. You've got one shot to use in your life. And what's awesome right now, if you're just listening and I'm in your ear holes, they both just nodded at me on camera. They were like, yup. So, well, you have to do that because people are going to go, well, if you didn't need it, why'd you do it? Well, because you do it once. You guys are 25. You're going to be putting money into that for years and years and years. But they allow you once if it's for your primary residence. And now you guys aren't house poor. You can buy appliances. And what's been your favorite part since you've moved in? Last night was your first slumber party. Have you had any, or is it still sinking in?
No, I think it's synced in. We've been having fun shopping on the Facebook marketplace.
Yes, baby.
Yeah, we decided we don't really like need everything brand new. The only thing that we decided brand new would be maybe the refrigerator and the sofa. Yeah, just for the very fact that you don't know where the sofa's been, and refrigerator, you don't know the lifespan on it. So it could be really used, or yeah, you could get lucky and it lasts like maybe 7 years.
And those are great. The Facebook marketplace, and you know, there's tons of great places that you can fill in your furniture. I have people that buy 3-bedroom houses and they don't know what the third bedroom's going to be. And they just kind of leave it empty for a little while. It ends up being mostly, you know, the moving boxes for the first month or so. So
that's us.
We have them in every room.
Yeah, I think I've said it on the podcast before. I had big fancy in when I've had a couple people to buy these huge houses with like 6 bedrooms and they're freaking out. And I go, just leave that room empty and tell people that you're waiting to go antiquing and fill it with the perfect pieces of furniture. And then just leave it empty because they're like, we don't want to have a housewarming yet. It's not all decorated. Don't worry about it, you know?
Yeah.
Are you guys going to be the gathering place now for the family? Are they like, good, we're having parties at your house now. You clean up.
Yes, that was the plan to be, for this house to be the house where we do all the gatherings. We made sure to have a big yard. We wanted a bigger living room. We didn't exactly get that, but that's fine. Everything okay. Else, we loved. We loved.
Okay, that's interesting. So you came in with one of the goals, and so this created your wants and needs list, was that you were going to be the gathering house.
Yes. Yeah.
So what were the pieces with that? Big yard. You wanted a big living room, but you made the compromise. Why did you make the compromise on the big living room? What were the bonuses here that made this house worth it?
The location, 8 minutes from his parents, my parents, the garage. He needed his little man cave and to work on his cars. And the big yard in the back and the front.
Ooh, both?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the rooms, all the other houses we looked at, the rooms were really small. These are not that huge, but they're bigger than the ones, the other 35 houses that we saw.
Oh, I tell people all the time, the difference between 10 by 10 and even like 12 by 11 for like a second bedroom, you'd be shocked. It's incredible. Just a little extra space. So 35 homes, talk to us about that. Let's just pretend like we're hanging out at the bar and you're going, dude, we saw so many houses. How was it? Was it frustrating or were you learning along the way?
It was fun learning on the way. We had no hurry in getting the house, but our realtor allowed us to go alone. First, Victor went by himself to see 5 houses. And then 4 days later, I went on my day off and saw another 5 houses. And then we would go together whenever we had a day off on the same day.
Yeah, I just did an interview with, she works in the day and he works the overnights. And the house they ended up buying, like she went to and he came by for like 2 minutes on his way to work and then he left and she's like, we're writing an offer. I know what the unicorn in Dallas does there is he sends you out to look at open houses by yourself first, right?
He suggested that, but we did it during. So like,
oh, okay.
Yeah, we just finished seeing him and we're like, you know what, let's go get a snack and let's go see some open houses.
Oh, great.
So we actually did notice. We saw probably like a total of 4, and our first offer was actually going to be one that we actually liked at an open house. But we went on a trip, and by the time we realized that they had beat us to it.
Yeah.
And what's funny is that the agent for that house texted us while we had already got in this house. And I'm glad we didn't get it after all.
Okay, this happens a lot. They texted you to say that whoever they selected, that fell through.
Yes. Yeah.
But then here you guys were going through and buying this one. And I know, yeah. I swear it works out this way every time. I try to tell people all the time because they'll be crushed in this market right now. We go out, we look at 35 houses. They write their first offer. They write their second offer. And then they, oh, the third one's absolutely it. I swear every single time, whatever house you get, you like way better. Because you don't write an offer on a house that's less than something that you've seen. you adjust and start to make your compromises. How many offers did you guys end up writing before you got to this house? How many homes did you try for?
Two.
And this was number three. How difficult was the negotiation process? Were there lots of other bidders?
And there was like two other ones. Three other people, I think.
Yes. Our realtor kept telling us, well, he told us that we were like number two, chosen as a number two. So if we wanted to wait, see if they backed out, which did happen. And then we decided we don't want it because the houses just kept getting better. That kept appearing on the list.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. So as the inventory unfolded, you saw houses that were better and better.
Yes.
There were some moments that actually got pretty sad, though, because we would go and it just kind of seemed like, man, like these houses aren't cutting it. It's like there's foundation problems or there's a whole bunch of little problems to it. It's like, oh, what about this one? It's like, oh, but what about the yard? Like it's all, we went on rainy days, so we would see how it would flood. And we're like, oh, you're right.
Oh, that's a good tip, too. Make sure you check. If you're not there during certain times of weather, you have to look at the grounds and see how it's going to go. So this is great. In a market that was going up, you don't feel like you had to compromise. The houses came up and they were still in your budget.
That's right. Actually, our loan was for $275,000. And I called the lender one Friday and I said, can you give us $10,000 more? Because obviously $10,000 more gives you a lot better. Yep. She said, let me enter some numbers and call you back Monday. And they did give us the 10 more.
Oh, that's great. There are sometimes that people will get the maximum loan and then they'll look at homes less than that. And then sometimes they'll always be looking at the maximum, but that's a great tip. Always ask. Yes. Because
it doesn't hurt to ask.
Yeah. If you started 3 months ago, maybe you paid down a credit card bill, you know, and suddenly that changes your debt to income ratio. And now, boom, you can afford something else. Did you guys come into this with loans and other factors?
Yes. Victor, he actually didn't want to. We started in October with the realtor, but we didn't get the lender till 2 months later. So we did have the realtor waiting 2 months because Victor didn't feel comfortable with him owing on his credit card and on his car loan.
So he worked that on his own and then you guys move forward.
A little. He didn't finish.
I didn't finish it as much as I thought, but, she kept on sending me podcasts, and somewhere along the line, I just kind of caved in, started feeling a little better. I'm like, I don't have to knock this all out. I should just, not really now or never, it's just simply I don't want to wait that long, because throughout the whole process, you keep hearing, it's just going to get more expensive, it's just going to get more expensive. And it's true. Like she said it not too long ago, like time is money. Like you just wait longer and it's going to be more expensive at the long shot.
Yadi, were you sending him my podcast?
Yes, a lot of them.
So Victor, am I a trigger for you right now? Are you like?
First it was, but nah, at the end of the day, I know it was helping me push towards something better. So the podcast actually helped out a lot. So I can't, it's not a trigger at all. It's okay. Like, okay, this guy knows what he's doing.
You know, I love to hear stories like this because good people are doing good things that are actually bad things and hurting them. But it's a logical, smart thing. You're like, buying a house is a big deal. I got to take care of all this other stuff first. And so that's why I started the podcast in my kitchen in the middle of the night and just kept doing it and doing it and doing it without trying to sell anything, because I want people to understand. Eventually, when you understand, I'm just trying to show you some secrets. You can do this with loans. I've had doctors with $200,000 in student loans, and they can still get a home loan. It's just they couldn't get, instead of getting a $700,000 home loan, they get a $600,000 home loan. Doesn't mean that you can't do it. And for you guys, chipping away at that in those 2 months, the fact that when you reached out and said, all right, guy in my ears that Yadi made me listen to, fine. And then that was Yadi's tip right at the beginning. You'll be surprised. So I'm glad. And don't worry, I'm not going to hunt you down and say I told you so. Because for every one of you, I have 100 people that listen to my podcast and they just keep saving on their own. And then they call me and go, okay, like 2 years ago, I heard you say this. I want to buy this house. It was 300 last year and now it's 450. It's like, I'm glad you guys did it. Are you excited about, well, I could talk about all the financial stuff. Tell us what it feels like to be sitting here. I can't believe you scheduled this for the first day in the house. That's so awesome.
Before I forget.
Well, you guys, your story is wonderful. I'm really, really happy for you guys. Yadi, thank you for pushing me on Victor. I love it. That's totally cool. You guys look fantastic. Although every time I see you kiss, I'm just going to think that you're twins and it's going to make me laugh. Well, when I'm in Dallas, we'll have to go out for a beer after the seminar so I can see you freak out the bouncer. That will make me laugh. Yadi, was there any? Oh, Yadi's looking at her notes. Was there anything else? Okay, go, girl.
Okay, here it goes. I know it's a scary thing to do. It is the biggest purchase of your life. But once you've done the first step, maybe reaching out to David, the scary feeling goes away. You feel a relief and it becomes exciting. You don't do all the work. The lender asks all the questions and they make you feel relief with the options that they give you.
Oh my God, this is the commercial for the podcast for the rest of my life. Because I'm also looking at the video. Yadi's leaning forward and reading off her page and Victor's behind her going, this is awesome. I'm in my house. Yeah. That was really nice. And that's going to help a lot of people because you guys are 25. You guys are living with your folks. You guys didn't buy this home $285,000 cash. You went in with a low down payment. You're paying a grand more than you were before. You're like the perfect, you can do this story. So I really appreciate it. That's really exciting for me.
Worth it.
Worth it. Awesome. Thanks, guys. I'll see you in Dallas.
Okay. All right. See you then.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, gang. Now, the interview's over there, but I kept talking to them after I turned the microphone off. And boy, did I miss the best part. So what I did is I flipped the microphone back on and I said, Yadi, you have to tell me this again. Come on, girl. Tell everybody. And even though Yadi is super shy, she still went ahead and told me this story again on microphone, on camera. So check this out. Listen to this. Okay, as I've learned, I should never stop recording when I do these podcasts because first of all, we found out we've been talking, by the way, for 20 minutes since you last heard me. First of all, I found out that Victor, the second day that they had keys, was crawling under the house. And you're an industrial electrician? Did I get that right?
Yeah.
And so you've already upgraded the fuse box and all that stuff, and you guys just spent your first night there last night?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Tell everybody the story you told me about your first meal in your first in your home.
Man, so after being in the crawl space, in the attic, being all dirty, still my work uniform, because I'm like, I'm already dirty, might as well be more dirty.
Yep.
Yadi over here texts me if I'm hungry, so she brings some water bottles, because we didn't have running water, but we had Wi-Fi. And we just go ahead and sit down, eat some ramen noodles, and yeah. That was our first meal on the floor, looking at the possibilities of the house.
Yeah.
That's the best. And 21st century tip, Wi-Fi first, utility second. You can bring bottled water. You're fine. Don't stress, but get that Wi-Fi in there. That's got to go. Okay. And then as I was saying goodbye to them, Yadi was like, wait a minute, I have to tell you something. So tell them what you just told me.
Well, besides that, I'm very thankful for you and your podcast, that when I would listen to the interviews that you have on your podcast, I would practice on my own, hoping maybe one day that will be me. So I would answer, because I was going through the process of getting the house, and I'm like, this is how I would answer.
Oh my God, you practiced for the interview. No wonder you were the perfect little commercial there. That's the best.
Thank you.
That's the best. It's a $285,000 house. Your unicorn coal is not going out to buy a Bugatti tomorrow with the commission that he made from your home. Cole's going to send me a little bit of money for working with you guys, and I'll take my family out to dinner. It's not going to break it, but you know what? I'm going to go home tonight so happy. The fact that you just said that you used to envision, and now I'm looking at your smiling face, and here you are. Yeah. I love it. With you and your little dog. Wait, what's the dog's name?
Pequeña.
Pequeña. Pequeña. I love it. Well, thanks. I just had to do that. That was the best. So, okay, second time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, if you're not watching it on video, I can tell you I'm sitting in the studio smiling ear to ear right now, just listening to that one more time. You know, I'm not egotistical. I'm not just super excited that she did that because, you know, she wanted to be on my podcast. To me, the whole goal of this is to educate and empower. And eventually, for some people, it's going to have to be motivate. And if practicing being on the podcast was the motivation for Yadi, awesome. That makes me so happy. And I'm so glad that she forced Victor into listening to the podcast and turned me into his trigger every time he hears my voice. I'm so glad that she brought her notes with her. She actually wrote stuff down. And some of those answers are great. You should go back and listen to the interview again. She talked about not overthinking it. That was quite amazing. You know, I'm honored that they allowed me to do this interview with them on their second day in the home. And of course, we learned the very important lesson there. Before you move in, hook up the Wi-Fi. Before the water, before the electricity, hook up that Wi-Fi first. Great lessons about location and being close to your family. But my gosh, I know that she practiced to be on the podcast, but I think it was just so she could get herself in the mindset, you know, could hear it over and over again, because I don't care about that. I care about the fact that she and Victor are now living in a home close to their family where they wanted to be. And that home is going to be the central hub. They've already decided that home is where they're all going to come and they're all going to hang out and they're going to get to celebrate those wonderful moments in life together. Boy, if that doesn't inspire you, I don't know what does. Now, maybe you don't need to practice other interviews answering the questions for the people, but maybe you need to create a spreadsheet for yourself. Maybe you need to put little reminders on your phone every 2 weeks. Maybe you need to go back and listen to the terms and definition episodes of the podcast just to get some basics so you feel like you've actually got a beginning of the understanding. Or maybe there are some other podcasts out there that are going to inspire you, some different interviews. That whole season one, there's a whole bunch of interviews on there with people from all different walks of life. And I'm just so proud of Yadi and Victor. I've been saying that a lot recently. I'm proud of my listeners. I know that sounds silly, but I am. I'm excited. I'm excited that we found a way to get this revolution going, to beat the system and to get over the fear, to not overthink it like Yadi said. If you've got questions, go to howtobuyahome.com, ask me a question right there, or you can even ask me directly for a unicorn. It's right there at howtobuyahome.com. There's going to be more stuff coming on the How to Buy a Home Instagram, and it's actually How to Buy a Home Podcasts on Instagram, How to Buy a Home on TikTok, and How to Buy a Home on YouTube. Check it all out, gang. Drop a review, leave a comment, tell me your story, and I don't know, maybe go back and listen to some interviews and practice on your own while you're in your car driving around. And one day, maybe you'll be on here and telling me your story, because I know you follow the steps, you can do this.